19th, year 2000. This is an interview with Jenny Wilson. The interview takes place in her home in Mayfield, Kentucky, and the interviewer is Betsy Brinson. Ms. Wilson, would you give me your full name, please?
Jenny Hopkins Wilson.
And tell me where and when you were born, please.
I was born in January 2nd, 1900.
Okay.
Near Baltimore, where they sold slaves, in western Kentucky, I guess. You know where Baltimore is?
No, I don't.
Well, that's where they brought the slaves to let people buy them, you know.
Okay. Okay. Is that on the river?
No.
Okay. Hold on a minute. Okay. Ms. Wilson, we were talking about Baltimore, Kentucky, which is where you were born.
No, but between Baltimore and Mayfield.
Baltimore and Mayfield, okay.
Between.
Were you born in the country on a farm?
On a farm.
Okay.
And when they got out of the army, they discharged them. They gave everybody some land. All of them was around in the same area. Uh-huh. Civil War.
The Civil War.
Uh-huh.
They gave the African Americans or blacks or Negroes or colored, depending on what they called them, they gave them land in that area?
Gave the slaves in land.
Right.
And
did your family have any land there?
Yes.
Your family had been slaves?
Yeah, my mother and father both were slaves.
Okay. Do you remember any stories that they told you about slavery?
Yeah, I remember some of them. My mother said that they were good to her, mm-hmm. and that she had a little kitten. And these kids' lives, my kids are crazy about cats now, and said that they let her bring a cat, and she rolled on it and killed it one night, where she was slave, and how she dreaded to go to bed, but she said she slept on a pallet in the kitchen. That's where she slept.
So she worked in the house.
She kept kids, children.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did she do any cooking?
She was an expert cook.
Okay.
And I took after her. I have cooked for 100 people.
100 people, that's a
by
lot.
By myself. I couldn't serve it, but I mm-hmm. have cooked mm-hmm. for that many people.
What do you know about your father? Under slavery?
Well, he said they weren't mean to him, but he was the first one to go to go to Paducah. They were slaves when they go to Paducah to join. And he told how long it took him to walk from Baltimore, Kentucky. He had to hide mm-hmm. fear of being captured.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't free. He was running away.
No, he was joining up with I got all the papers here somewhere.
He was joining
in a box.
Joining the Union soldiers.
That's right. You know where the box I have.
She has a paper.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, please, what your father's full name was.
All I know is Wesley Hopkins.
Wesley Hopkins. And your mother's name?
Fanny Hopkins.
Okay.
And he was, you don't know the slaves they were under.
If you know that,
yes.
Yes,
I do. Mm-hmm. My mother's Lady in Wingo is a relative to the people that my mother was a slave on
mm-hmm.
that lives in Wingo.
In Wingo?
Kentucky. It's about 3 or 4 miles from here.
From here, okay.
And my father, I had a paper on that, and my friend borrowed it and took it away from them. But then he was sent somewhere else with, and the boy said he's going to bring it to me, but he never had brought it. Mm.
Did your parents tell you any stories about your father serving in the war?
He was wounded. Mm-hmm. And oh, there's a little book with a lot in it in there. Look in a drawer. I tell you, a newswoman lady that had a newspaper cut out the important parts. And it's in one of those drawers. And it tells where about... It tell y'all about it because there's a book, but I never could get it. And the lady, I worked for her for years, and they got the book, borrowed it from some people up north, and cut all the important parts out.
They cut the parts out?
You know, about my father.
Oh, okay.
They took some of the supporting papers about her dad. But I have some papers that I'm sending with you.
Okay.
That will substantiate everything that she's saying about grandfather.
Oh, good. So your father was wounded.
Yes.
Do you know where that was?
Yes. He had a limp as long as he lived.
Mm-hmm. So he was wounded in his leg.
Yes.
But do you know? Where, what part of
cut his foot, it'll tell in there what happened to him. Because okay. Mr. Barton, he was a teacher. I mean, he got all the record from Washington and cut the important parts out. They loaned me the book, and he and the editor, a lady I worked for, cut all the importance out and put it in this book.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's all right there.
Was your father ever recognized for his contribution to the war by the federal government?
He drew a little pension, but that's all I know.
Okay.
But, and then my mother drew $12, I believe, every 3 months or something mm-hmm. like that after he died. Mm-hmm.
As his widow. Okay. What what happened to your parents after slavery?
Well, they gave everybody a piece of land. Mm-hmm. And I guess, I don't know how they married or anything like that, but she told about how they'd have dances. That was when the slaves and somebody would buy a whole lot of slaves, mm-hmm. and then they let them have dances, and she'd tell how they danced, and it said they danced Burlam lasses down the hill, roll them around when they come, and said she'd get off by my father and dance up to him, turn around when she got there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how your mother and father met? Did they ever tell you that story?
No,
okay.
I don't know what
they did. Did they have any children while they were still slaves?
No, they did not.
Okay. And you said that your mother slept on a pallet in the kitchen floor of the main house. Where did your father sleep?
I don't know. He had slipped off and joined in Paducah. He was the first one. It'll be in that book Mr. Barton got. He was the first one to go. And he walked all the way from Baltimore, Kentucky, hiding at night to get to Paducah. He was the first one to join.
Mm-hmm. And he was a slave when he joined?
He was a slave when he joined, but he slipped. He walked, and they said he'd hide at night and go in the daytime. And when you got Paducah, you was free.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to go back just a minute. Forgive me, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions that you may not know the answers to, and that's okay.
Yes.
Back on the farm when they were slaves, did they have another house they lived in at all?
They gave everybody a piece of land. and I guess the material to build them.
But the, now that was after the war, they gave them the
yes,
land.
Yes, that was after the war.
Okay.
And my father built his own cistern and house, such as it was.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have any brothers and sisters, or did you have any brothers and sisters?
I think my mother had about 15.
Mm-hmm. And where were you? Were you the youngest or the oldest? Or
My mother was 51 years old when I was born.
I thought maybe that she might have been. That's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know I was. I remember nursing her because I was petted because the rest of them was grown and married and had children. Mm-hmm. But they were so old, I was only an old baby out there.
Mm-hmm.
Old folks
right.
baby.
Right. So your family made their living by farming?
By sharecropping.
Sharecropping. Okay.
They, get so much. And then to have money, they, at that time, like wheat, when they had wheat, they had a thrasher.
Uh-huh.
And in modern time, they had some way to fix a plow, but they had this flour mill, and they would go and live in tents and things and pitch this wheat up there and make flour.
Mm-hmm. So they'd stay in the tents as long as they were working there to make the flour.
That was after they give them land
uh-huh.
to make a living by. And we were sharecroppers, and I know that he was wounded, and sometimes when he'd get the crop out, all of my brothers and sisters were older than me, and there's 4 years difference in me and the twins.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to work early. We'd help him, if he was wounded, and when he couldn't go, my mother took us. And at 6 years old, I was pulling worms off and suckers off the bark. When I first started out there with the worms, it made me so sick, but you get used to anything. And my mother would take the twins, and my mother took a grandchild, because his mother come to town to work. And we would all do suckering and just things like that. And as we grew older, they made their own molasses, had sorghum mills, and they raised cane sorghum, the cane that makes sorghum,
right.
And had horses to go around and get the juice. And then they had a great big thing, and it had partitions in it, and they'd stand there and make the molasses.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. So your family grew tobacco and wheat. Did they grow anything else?
But they grew corn. And we raised all of the food we eat, the gardens.
Your vegetables.
They
garden.
Had all beans, peas, ash potatoes. And the government gave them fruit trees, and we had apple trees and pear trees. And,
mm-hmm.
and apricots, mm-hmm. and they had gooseberries and raspberries. They gave them all kinds of stuff to make a living with.
Your memory is wonderful.
If it wasn't for my hip, I have an artificial hip. Mm-hmm. I worked all up about 2 years ago.
What kind of work did you do?
Anything come up, my mother was a good cook,
mm-hmm.
and I have cooked for 100 people. And if they were having a dinner party, I would go, and they always want me to make rolls, and then I just learned how to cook everything.
Right, so you make those yeast rolls?
Yes, I did.
So
yes, I did.
Mm.
And I haven't
ever really learned how to do that very well. I'm envious.
I did that until about 3 years ago. My hip, I got a rod in my leg
uh-huh.
from here to there. And it began to give out on me, and I couldn't cook like I did.
Okay. Let me go back and ask you. You said when your brothers and sisters grew up that they would come back and help with the farming sometime when your father's wound was bothering him. Did all of your brothers and sisters stay in the area?
Yes, but they, everyone got old enough, they in Mayfield, they hired cooks. They gave them $3 a week to cook three meals a day. And as the girls got old enough, they came to town and started cooking for $3 a week, which they thought was a mint. Because I have worked, when I started to work, I wasn't making but a quarter an hour. When my father died, I was 12 years old. And my brother was just 4 years older. And they went to work carrying water on the railroad when they didn't have, things to, signals. And water, they had to carry ice. And I was put in a white home at 12 years old. And I never had but six. We had, the slave children had 3 months a year, and the teacher would take a test at the courthouse, and then she'd teach. But I did get to the, as they grew older, they got a little better teachers, and I got to the fifth grade. And at 12 years, from 6 to 12, and then after I got 12 years old, well, that's when my father died, and we all didn't have, after his was cut out, my mother had to get a pension. And it took a year or two to get that. And she would go around like a big family, and they had a wash pot outdoors, if it's snow or whatever, and do laundry work. I remember before I got, the boys was older than me, they could go to school, but I'd have to go with her. I remember I was a little girl, and the people she washed for would let, if I'd go to sleep, I remember they made me a pallet in the house, and she washed on the south side of the house, and would hang the clothes, and see we didn't have cold soot, and they'd freeze dry. People out there didn't have no, like we have now.
let me go back and ask you a couple of questions about things that you just said. First off, did you have any other family that fought in the war besides your father?
Everybody around Pittsburg and around there in Hickman County and in that area, all of them, we lived all around in a hut. All the soldiers, they give them all a piece of land near Baltimore.
So all of the men had actually worked or had fought in the war as soldiers with your father?
Yes, they gave them all of them part land. Okay. And like my father lived here and over there and over there and scattered around all of us with sharecroppers.
Okay, but now if you had been a slave and you were freed and you hadn't fought in the war, could you get land then? Or you could only get it if you'd fought in the war.
No, you didn't. Nobody got no free land but them. See, when there was nobody out there, the land was out there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the land only went to the soldiers.
Yeah, they just give everybody a piece of land in the cell. Okay. Yes, they did. And we all live in a like Pittsburg and about 3 miles area around in Baltimore area. Like.
Want to go back to, you were telling me about your teacher and your education. Did you when you started with your teacher, were there other children with you? Were you
my twin brothers?
Okay. Yes. Uh-huh. And did you have to go somewhere to meet your teacher?
They put a teacher out there, and the teacher boarded with us.
Okay.
And she gave my mother $5 a month for board, but she taught me it at night is the reason that I got to the fifth grade, because she wasn't paying my mother much, and then they didn't know, they just took a test at the courthouse and stuff.
And how long would the teacher stay with you?
We had 3 months school a year.
Okay, so she lived with you for
the 3 months?
She lived
in the house with my mother.
For 3 months. Mm-hmm. And she also taught other children in the...
In the school. She had a little school, country schoolhouse.
That's what I'm asking.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a schoolhouse.
Yes.
Did it have a name? Did the schoolhouse have a name? Did you name it anything?
I think they called it Old Pine.
Old Pine?
Old Bine, O-B-I-O-N.
O-B-I-N.
O-N, Old Bine.
What does that mean?
That, I don't know, because the church was Old Bine Church and Old Bine School.
It's a little community outside Mayfield.
Okay, it's
O-B-I-O-N.
I-O-N, okay.
O-Bion.
Okay.
It's the name of a place.
Okay.
Okay.
And how many children do you think would have gone to that school while she was teaching there?
Everybody in that area.
Do you think that might have been 10 children or 30 children?
Oh, let's see. All the slave children ran in there. All the people that were in the army, like my father and everybody that went to the army, they were, now some of them was in the Prizeburg area, and we were 3 months out. We didn't get but 3 months, well, none of us got but 3 months a year of schooling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at the end of the 3 months, and she would move on somewhere else to teach other children?
No, that was all of it. That was all of her school year.
Oh, it was. What did she do after 3 months?
I don't know. Because she lived right there in that corner house.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Across the street?
Yes.
Okay.
See, I was still out there in the country.
You said when you were 12 and your father died, you moved to a white house.
No, mother was still in the country.
Okay.
And my sisters, as they got older, they came to town and cooked 3 meals a day for $5 a week.
And where were you?
Some white lady asked them, did they have any more sisters? And they told them I was out there 12 years old. My mother put me there and I never did go to school no more. And I learned how to cook. My mother made her own yeast. They did everything. And I was sorry I didn't ask her how to do it, but I didn't have much time.
Were you 12 years old when you started to cook for...
When my daddy died, that was it, because it took a good while to get her pension.
Right.
And then the two boys were put on... there was a railroad about 3 miles from us.
Uh-huh.
They were water boys, just any kind of job they could get. And I was put in this white home, and they taught me how to cook.
Okay.
And after I grew up, I knew how to do it because old people could really cook, and they made biscuits and they had slaves and they had beat them to rise.
Okay.
And I remember my mother said that one time the lady she made a cake and said that. And there was another slave in there with her, said, "Ooh, this cake sure is good." And she said, one of them said to the other, and said, "If it hadn't been for that old black sweat rolled off and it wouldn't been so good." Wasn't no air conditions nowhere.
Right.
You had a 6-hour range stove, and I mean, it was hot.
It was hot, yeah. When did you get married? When did you meet your husband?
I married in 30. And he died in 55.
So you married him in 1930? So you were a married couple for 25 years before he died?
Let's see, I guess.
Okay, how did you meet him?
While I was here working in town cooking. Then later on, my mother got this old Able, and we had to move to town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were living in town, and you met him.
Yes, yes.
And was he from Mayfield?
Yes, but they got 6 months school in Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
He'd grown up in Mayfield. Did his parents live in Mayfield, his family and all?
His family lived. They all live here in Mayfield, and we thought this was a big city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, probably was. So, Tell me your husband's full name, if you can, please.
Beg pardon?
Tell me your husband's name.
Johnny Wilson.
Okay. And how did he make his living? You were cooking.
He was a barber.
He was a barber? Oh. Did he get any training for that somewhere? Or?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Mm-mm.
Well, that was a good job to have, wasn't it?
I guess, but it didn't pay much.
Okay.
I know it wasn't good enough that I didn't educate the children myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to go back now and ask you to the Civil War one more time. You told me about your father, but do you remember the names of any other men in the neighborhood who went off to
John,
fight?
Uncle John Jones and Uncle Pete Mays, and let's see if I can think of any other.
They were your uncles?
I know the one, Uncle Green Gregory.
Green?
I think you'll find it all in that little book Cookie's got.
Okay.
Because Mr. Barton made it. Got the big, he got it from Washington, D.C., and
okay.
The editor here, I work for her.
Okay.
And they tried to order the book, and while they had the book, he sent for it, but he could. It was some of my colored people went up north, and they kind of got educated, and they got the working where they could get it at the archives in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. up
okay.
in there. And they got it, and then they loaned me the book, and I showed it to Mr. Lon Carter Barton. And then the editor I worked for, they cut the important parts of my father out.
Okay.
And it's all in the book.
Okay, that's helpful. Okay, I'm going to jump ahead now and ask you about voting. Do you remember when you first voted?
When I was old enough.
Okay. But now, blacks in Kentucky, or male blacks, could vote in Kentucky late 19th century, but women couldn't vote, regardless of their race, until about 1920, 1921 in Kentucky.
Well, I didn't vote till I was old enough.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, I vote every year.
Okay. You mind telling me which party you vote for?
Well, my father was in the war under Republicans, and I didn't know nothing. They just said voting and for our benefit. Mm-hmm. And I voted a Republican mm-hmm. ticket. And mm-hmm. as I went by, I learned more from people.
Mm-hmm.
Changed to Democrat all years ago. And I've been voting ever since.
Okay. Have you ever been active in politics?
No.
No. Has anybody in your family been active in politics?
No.
Okay. But your mother never voted now.
Yes, none of them didn't vote
right.
because
okay.
my mother was sold on a block and brought here.
Okay, yeah. even later,
yeah,
she
no,
wouldn't
no,
have voted.
Well, see, all of them had big families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Uncle John, my father, they was all in there together. He had two sets of twins. I could call them all over and take me a long time. And the women, they took care of all these children. And back there, women minded them just like they were children.
Mm-hmm.
They never did sass them.
Mm-hmm.
Sass their husband.
Okay, now I'm going to jump ahead and ask you some questions about the 1940s and 50s and 60s. And that whole period we called the civil rights struggle that was happening everywhere. But what we want to know from you is if there was anything happening in Mayfield. Was there an NAACP chapter that people might have belonged to?
If it did, I didn't know about it.
Okay. Was there, or there might have been a group with another name.
Yes.
And it might not be a name that we'd even know.
Yes.
That decided that they were going to do something about segregation. Do you have any recollection of that happening in Mayfield?
No, because see, when I was born,
the 1950s, when you would have been 50 years old.
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember at that point that black people couldn't eat in restaurants, they couldn't go to theaters, they couldn't sit
do
in?
Do I remember?
Mm-hmm. Tell me what you remember.
It's been a minute. It's been a long time ago. We haven't been, I worked in a white church 40 years, and the restaurant was right across there. Well, sometime, like, if they had something on Sunday, I had to keep it three all day. And you'd have to get your food out the window. Yes, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when we'd go into, when they was in school, we'd go on train, and after we left, when we got on train in Fulton, it was all colored here and white over here. And then one time I come home and I went back with somebody kin to me, and they said, you have to go to France. He says, I'm happy here. I've been riding here all the time. I said, no, but you have to go. That was after, but there was a time we had to ride in the back of the train.
Do you remember going shopping and not being able to try on anything?
Well, when I began working, you know, like for rich people, and I was little and they had kids, they'd give my mother give me clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They'd give me like, they had clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did, I was good at it, because my mother was a good cook.
Mm-hmm.
And it fell off on me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the 50s, in most places, and what I'm trying to get at is whether this was true in Mayfield too, if you wanted to go and buy a pair of shoes or a hat or anything for you or for your daughters,
we could do it.
You could do it,
yes.
But would they let you try things on so you knew that they were the right size?
Yeah, we tried on shoes because in the 50s, weren't you in college?
We didn't, we used to go to the shoe stores. I mean, we had no problem.
Here in Mayfield.
Later, you know, later years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But
before 1960, you think?
Oh, yes, but before 1960, you'd graduated from college, hadn't you?
Oh, yeah, I wasn't
in. I know, she wasn't in.
Okay.
I'm the one that went to high school. I went to the first integrated high school situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Here in Mayfield in the 50s.
Okay, well, I want to
ask
you.
That same time period.
I
want
to ask you about that. Okay. Were there any demonstrations here
mm-hmm.
in the 60s
mm-hmm.
for equal rights? Can you tell me about those?
Well, I don't know too much about it because, see, I was still in the country till my father died.
But
it was.
Right, but I'm talking about 1960. You were in Mayfield then.
Oh, yes, I was here then.
Okay.
But way back, they hung.
Mm-hmm. They had head lynchings.
Yeah, they one colored man was killed, and they carried him out the edge of town here and hung him. And then they hung one white man,
mm-hmm.
and they said his name was Tom Tinker, and said he told him he wanted to get his shoes on. He told him where he's going, he wouldn't need no shoes, and they took him out there. But they hung colored people too.
Mm-hmm. Do you know why they hung these two men? What did they say they had done?
I
you don't remember that?
I remember, but I won't tell it.
You sure?
Should I tell it?
What's that?
Why they hung a white color man? I don't know. I don't
either. Well, usually they hung black men because they thought maybe they had done something to white women.
Well, it was...
Wasn't true, but that's what...
Well, you want me to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Should I?
I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Well, they said there's one colored man.
If it's hearsay, she doesn't want
to... This is not hearsay. It was in my time because everybody was...
This would have been about when?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when this happened?
I'm old enough to know that it was scary and people worried about it.
Were you still a child or were you
grown up? Yeah, I wasn't grown good.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in my day when I was under 20.
And what happened?
They hung several colored people out here. Up there.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay.
See, they had hangings, and then they passed a law, like if it had any more hangings, they were going to take the courthouse away from them because, see, you leave Mafia and go to Paducah, you're free. Because mm-hmm. that's where my daddy joined. That's where he joined the army in Paducah, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he told how many days it took him to slip off and walk mm-hmm. down there.
Okay. Well, is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you think is important to tell me?
No, only that, I've told you, only that kids had to, when the soldiers that were wounded, when they got old enough to pluck worms and suck the tobacco, I went to the field and mm-hmm. sucked the worm tobacco. Mm-hmm. And when we first go, we peed them worms out and it made us sick, but we finally got used to mm-hmm. anything.
Okay.
And then there's like flour and meal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they raised wheat. I remember my daddy, when they were going to harvest the wheat, they had a wheat thrasher. Mm-hmm. And all the old soldiers around there would take quilts and things and sleep in white people's barn and pitch that in there to make the flour.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. When your mother had all of her children, who helped her have her babies? Did she have a midwife?
Midwife.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever know the midwife in this area?
No.
No. Okay.
She never did. They never did. They never would tell us nothing much.
Okay. Your mother and father wouldn't tell you much?
They'd tell some things that just... things about, like she tell me about dreading to go to bed with kittens. But this woman in Wingo, she called me since they've been here. She was kin to the people that was, my mother was a slave under.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brothers Watts.
Tell me about your children. How many children did you have?
Four.
Four.
Mm-hmm.
And can you name them for me?
This is one of them. That's Lyndon, Cookie,
Alice,
Alice, Frank, mm-hmm. and Fanny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How old is the oldest one?
Yeah, I don't tell my age.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to get a sense of her life story
in terms of.
Okay.
I've been around a while, but I don't.
When did you have your first baby?
19 or 18 or somewhere
okay.
like that.
Okay. And did you have anybody to help you have your baby? Like a midwife or?
A country doctor.
A country doctor? Oh, okay. Can you tell me about who that was or?
No, I wouldn't. I'm like,
don't want to tell me about that. Okay. But it was was a doctor who helped other women have their babies too?
Yes.
Is that, okay. Was that here in Mayfield?
Near Graves, down near Baltimore, where the slaves.
Okay. All right, well, I think I'm going to stop here for a minute, if you don't mind, and let me talk to your daughters.
Okay.
And then maybe we'll come back and talk a little bit more, if that's all right.
Okay, talk to your daughter.
Okay. Ask you that again. Did you ever think you'd live to be 100 years old?
Yes, I did. I if I hadn't had this hip, I'd have made 110 or 20, but I still keep my own house. I have somebody an hour and a half. And
how old did your mother live to be?
84.
Mm-hmm. Did anybody else in your family live to be 100?
No.
And you said it was because you were a workaholic and you had a good constitution?
Yeah, I guess it was. I fought back. I don't know how. I wonder sometimes when I look around all my people. I have a great niece way up, but I had one great niece was 90 years old. All my sister's children was courting when I was born, my older sister. And I was a little girl and they were big courting and I was calling them aunt and they called me aunt and here I am down here.
Right. Just one minute. You're going to tell me about your children's education?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Mr. Lon Carter Barton, he's at the high school and all, and he found out that I was a Civil War veteran. And some teacher came here, and Mr. Stigler, he found out that they could go to Hampton, Virginia, as a work student, but it took them 5 years. So when they graduated from high school, she was valedictorian, and she went to graduated from Mayfield High.
Mm-hmm.
And two of my kids went to Howard University, and two went to Hampton Institute. But this one worked her way through school.
Mm-hmm.
It took them 5 years. And any child, if you could get the record that your father was a Civil War veteran,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted an education, she worked 4 years. In the last year, I had to send some money, but I sent her clothes. But she worked her way through
school. World War One.
Yeah, she worked her way through school.
Her father was in World War One.
Yeah, World War One.
Your father was in World War
One? Yeah, her husband.
I see.
Yeah.
And this one went to Hampton. Did you go to Hampton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she went to Hampton, Hampton Institute too. If that was a work student, it took them 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed 5 years, and I didn't see her for three. And I worked for nice people, and she was there 3 years, she said, "Po Jenny would like to see a child." After she grew up, where she could go out and do work besides just, hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And at the last year, she couldn't work as much. And I think I sent a little money for the last year, but she made four of it on her own.
Mm-hmm.
And then the white people that I worked for sent for her to come to Mayfield so I could see. I hadn't seen her in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. It's a long time. So your husband served in World War One.
Yes.
And did he go overseas?
Yes.
He did. Where did he go? Where did they send him?
I don't know.
Okay.
I guess that's where called mine went. My twin brothers. I had three brothers to go to war.
Okay. All in World War One?
They went in World War Two.
World War Two. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The twins.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for adding that. You with Alice Wilson. The interview takes place in the home of her mother in Mayfield, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And the interviewer is Betsy Brinson. Alice, could you give me your full name, please?
Alice Monyette Wilson.
And how do you spell Monyette?
M-O-N-Y-E-T-T-E.
Okay. Could you tell me, please, Alice, where and when you were born?
I was born in Mayfield, Kentucky on November 25th, 1941.
Okay. So that makes you
58, almost 59.
Okay. Okay. Could we thank you very much for agreeing to talk with me today here. I thought it would be useful to have your input and your recollections after talking to your mother here a little bit. And particularly what I'm interested in, first I'm going to ask you some questions just about you, but also any recollections that you have about the whole civil rights era in Mayfield, mm-hmm. Kentucky. Tell me a little bit about your growing up, if you would, please. Who was in your family while you were growing up?
My brother and sister were at home. My older brother and sister were here. There were three of us here. Linda had moved away because she was the oldest and she had already gone away. We grew up in the area. We had friends in the neighborhood. There were several people who lived in the neighborhood. It was a very close-knit community. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew everybody else. And because of that, I think everybody really, really would take care and look out for the children mm-hmm. who were around. It was a happy childhood. Mm-hmm. Fun. Lots of playing.
Did your family belong to a church?
Yes.
And
St. James AME Church, okay. Which still exists here in the city.
Good. Okay. And tell me about your early education.
My early education was in the elementary school, segregated elementary school of Mayfield. Mm-hmm. And, well, really elementary and middle school years, what we consider middle school mm-hmm. now. So it would have been kindergarten through eighth grade mm-hmm. in a segregated situation.
And what was the name of the school?
Dunbar.
Dunbar, okay. Mm-hmm.
Which has since closed. Closed a long time ago, actually.
It used to be on the corner.
Close to this area, actually.
Is the building still there?
The building is still there. The physical building is there, but they've changed it to a maintenance garage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What do you remember about any of your early teachers?
My elementary teachers were actually very good. I don't remember being in large classes. As I remember, the classes were small. Mm-hmm. So we did receive a lot of individual attention. Basic reading and math skills, we were very strong. Mm-hmm. They were very good teachers. We had a good start.
When you say small classes, can you just estimate approximately?
I would say probably 15, okay. 15, 16.
Okay.
Classes weren't as large as they are today.
Did you have any favorite teachers?
Actually, I did. One was my second grade teacher. Her name was Mrs. Schofield. Mm-hmm. And I think I learned the most from her, mm-hmm. okay. especially with reading, because she loved to work with us with reading. She was a very good teacher.
This may be hard for you if you ever even knew the answer, but one of the things that we're trying to determine is where your teachers got their teacher training, where they did their own schooling. Had any of them gone to Kentucky State, for example?
I don't remember that.
Christine went to Paducah.
I'm not sure whether they were educated in a normal school situation. Mm-hmm. Or what? I'm really not sure about that.
It was a school in Paducah. I could see that one of the teachers, she was in school with my age. Mm-hmm. I don't know where all of them are.
Okay.
I don't think the requirements at that point were as strict as they are now. Perhaps it was 2 years of training. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. But I really don't know the schools they attended.
That's right, because most of the teachers went to down there 2 years and started teaching for good. And when they integrated, every one of them had to go to a higher school to get a pension. I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
To see. And then reading how I know so well, I was in Social Security office and he was in there trying to get his teacher retirement, and they told him that they'd have to go to school.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was also a period in Kentucky before places like Murray was integrated that mm-hmm. teachers who were working on like master's degrees would go outside of the state to mm-hmm. places like Ohio State and Indiana okay. University, and some might have gone to Columbia Teachers College in New York City.
That's
and the
true.
State would give them scholarship money to do that mm-hmm. rather than take them into Kentucky schools.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't happen to recall whether any of your teachers in the black school here might have been working on advanced degrees out of the state during the summer? Or?
Not to my knowledge. I couldn't absolutely say no, because I don't know.
Right.
But not to my knowledge.
Okay.
I can answer that, no.
No. Okay. Okay. Do you recall anybody when you were coming along? Any of your teachers?
No, I really wouldn't either.
Okay.
Only thing I don't even know. Remember, we had I know the principal of the principal of the school came from. He wasn't born at the one that I remember, Mr. Stigger.
Yeah.
His name is F.I. Stigger, and he came from another area to be the mm-hmm. the principal of the mm-hmm. Dunbar.
Okay.
Other than that, I really don't know.
Okay. I wonder, while you were at the black school, did you have what we would have called it Negro history education? Did any of your teachers?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
And if so, very little. Not anything that was memorable.
Okay. So you were at the black school and then there was a white school. Were you aware of any differences between the two schools?
Absolutely.
Can you tell me about that, please?
Absolutely. The biggest difference was in material, in textbooks, mm-hmm. Workbooks, library materials. The segregated situation was lacking in many areas. Mm-hmm. When I changed schools, I saw books that I had never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly a lot within those books that I did not know.
Mm-hmm.
So it was extremely hard to catch up
mm-hmm.
because I was way behind. Once I passed the elementary grades, from middle school, during the middle school period, I think I fell behind. There was a major change there. And then once I got into high school, I had to work twice as hard to keep up,
mm-hmm.
especially changing into a new situation.
So you finished the black school
eighth grade. Yes.
And from there went to which school?
Mayfield High School.
And that would have been what year?
I think it was 55.
55.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the Supreme Court decision, Brown versus Board of Education, was 54. And the implementation decision in 55.
Mm-hmm.
And so the schools here actually moved that quickly to integrate? That's unusual for...
That was 50... Was it? Because I graduated in 59.
It was in the 50s. Because my husband and I came... He came down and carried you to high school the first mm-hmm. day of integration. And we drove from mm-hmm. Maryland. Mm-hmm. He's deceased now. And the first day of... And we had Maryland tags, and Sturgis, Kentucky, was one of the places where they had a lot of trouble.
Right.
And we drove through Sturgis that morning, but we didn't see anything because it's early in the morning. And we were here visiting when they integrated Mayfield High School.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to say, "But there I was out there with Maryland tags carrying her to the first day that they integrated mm-hmm. the high mm-hmm. school. I was here, but I didn't go out mm-hmm. with her. You carried her out there."
How many other students were in your eighth grade class that would have gone to the high school?
There were only 10 of us that tried.
Okay.
And we actually did this on our own.
What do you mean? Oh, okay. All right. So this was not the school board saying we're going to integrate the schools.
No, it is not.
Okay.
Because here's the circumstance. We had, all of us had read information about what was going on in other parts of the country with integrated schools. And the 10 of us were friends. And I can remember we sat one night and we said, I bet it would really shake up everybody if we decided to go to Mayfield High School. And we laughed about it. Oh, sure, sure, we're going to do this. And nothing was said. And as time went on, we kept talking about it to each other. And we decided, the 10 of us, that we were going to try it. And we did it. And we had adult support once we made the decision, but adults didn't help us make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Were there adults who counseled against you doing that? Who might have been concerned about your safety? Or
the adults that I knew didn't.
Okay. And if you hadn't made that decision, where would you all have gone to school? Was there a black high school?
We would have continued at Dunbar.
Where you
were? Because Dunbar, right,
okay,
went through 12th grade. And on a fluke, we decided we would do it. Mm-hmm. So we made whatever necessary paperwork. And I don't remember whether it was just a matter of signing something to say that you wanted to change from one to the other, or if we had to register the first day. Mm-hmm. I've forgotten that circumstance, but I think we just registered the first day. So instead of going to Dunbar High, we went to Mayfield High, mm-hmm, walked into the office and said, we're here to register. And they didn't deny us the registration. Mm-hmm. They were shocked. I do remember that. They were absolutely shocked that we had walked in, and we did register, and I'm sure the telephones were ringing off the hook from that point on, mm-hmm, because of course, it involved the teachers there. It involved, I'm sure, city council, how they were going to handle this situation. I'm sure it threw everybody into turmoil. But it wasn't blocked. Mm-hmm. It was not blocked, mm-hmm, by the city council and those who were making decisions at the time. They didn't block it.
Was there any news publicity about it?
In the local paper. I don't know how widespread it was in Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, of the 10 of you, you were going into the ninth grade, but did you have students at all levels of high school that went with you?
No.
So
we were all at the same level. We were all ninth graders. We had all finished eighth grade together, mm-hmm, and we were going into ninth grade.
So what happened to the students above you at Dunbar, like in 10th,
they continued
11th,
at 12th, Dunbar.
They went there.
They continued, it was their choice,
okay,
whether or not they wanted to go to Dunbar or go to Mayfield High, and some chose to stay there.
Okay. What, and you did that without the counsel of any organization or church or anything like that?
No.
Just the 10 of you deciding?
We just decided to go do it. And I talked to Mother about it. All of us talked to our parents. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking Mom, well, what do you think about it? And she said, if that's what you were going to do, you want to do, try it. Mm-hmm. And that's what all of our parents said. If that's what you really want to do, try it.
Mm-hmm. So you went the first day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you begin classes that day?
That I'm a little fuzzy about. I think usually you registered first, and then you had a few days before you actually started classes. Mm-hmm. So there was a break in that time period, mm-hmm, of a few days, I believe,
okay,
where we registered, but we didn't actually start school that day. Maybe we registered on a Wednesday, but classes actually started,
right,
on the following Monday, mm-hmm, of a full week.
Okay. So when classes actually started, tell me about the teachers. How did they respond?
Most were all right. Most were good. A few didn't like the idea at all, and never did the entire time we were there. And those differences were definitely felt in their classes by what they did.
Do you remember any specific examples?
By not calling on you if you held up your hand. Not giving you the extra time if you requested. By generally ignoring you within the class, because they really didn't agree with it. And some others, we were just students.
Did you,
like any others.
Did any of you ever receive grades that you thought were unfair, that didn't really recognize the merit? But
I can only remember one. That was an algebra teacher who didn't give the extra help. And I guess I never felt I had done as well in that class as I could have if I had had the extra time. Unfair only in that sense. We weren't given homework or anything that was different from anybody else's. But then I wasn't really prepared as I felt I should be. So I needed the extra help at first, and he didn't give it.
Okay. How about the other students? How did they?
They didn't like us very much. They opposed the idea totally.
Did that stay that way? Or did it change over time?
For the first 2 years, it stayed that way.
And so you and the other students who had integrated it, did you stay together as a sort of support group for each other?
No, that was very carefully arranged. So we realized later on that in preparing our schedules, that there were never two of us in the same class, in the same time period within a class.
You want to talk about why you think they did that?
I'm not sure what the reasoning was at that point, except I don't know what their thinking was. I really don't. Because there were only 10 of us anyway, so we certainly were outnumbered with the rest of the student population. But there were never two of us in the same class at the same time.
How many white students were there approximately in your class?
This is within that the freshman school, class or the whole school?
Well, no, just your freshman
class. Freshman
class.
This included city and county students at that point.
Well, let me ask that another way. By the time you graduated, you would have had some to drop out, probably, but how many of you graduated?
Two
of the 10 students?
Two of the 10. There were two of us that graduated on time. There were other students that had to repeat a grade, or they failed, or they didn't catch up quite as quickly, or whatever. But there were only two of us that graduated in that senior class on time.
And how many white students graduated in your senior class? What was the total class size?
I would imagine 200 or 300, wouldn't you?
Really?
Yeah, that's
a big school.
Because it included, now that the high schools are split between city school and county schools. But at that time, Mayfield High included both. Okay. So there were many students that were bused from all these surrounding areas. Some of the communities Mom has mentioned, Wingo and Fulton and all those places, they all came to Mayfield. They were brought in from the farm areas of Mayfield. So it was a large high school.
Big school. What about student organizations and things? Did you belong to any of them? Or?
I did not. There was so much going on just on a daily basis that I think we had really gotten to a point where we didn't really want to join those organizations. It was hard enough just to keep up.
Were you ever encouraged to join the organizations?
Not really.
By anybody?
No.
Okay. I believe I heard earlier that you are a music teacher.
Yes.
Now.
Yes.
When did you first get interested in music?
When I was young. I started piano lessons about 7, 8 years old. I guess it was around 7, and I was going for piano lessons with my sister, Fanny, who is now deceased. And we traveled to Paducah for private lessons. Mm-hmm. How we found out about that lady, I really don't know, the person who gave the lessons, but she was very good. So I had a good basis to begin lessons. But that was later, but yeah. The beginning lessons were in Paducah with my sister. Mm-hmm. And there was a 9-year difference in our ages, so my sister left for college. I continued lessons with the person in Paducah, and then eventually I had lessons with a professor at Murray State University.
Okay. And piano was?
Piano lessons, yes.
You did you sing at all, or in the chorus?
Only in church choir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But did you ever think you might like to join the school chorus at the high school? Or?
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't.
What about the other black students who were there?
They didn't join either.
Okay.
They really didn't. Maybe it was our own attitude, as well as the attitudes of those who were members of the organizations and the counselors and those the teachers that were in charge of the organizations, but they did not encourage us to join.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you about the guidance counselor. If there was any effort to work with you all towards selecting a college or anything of that sort, if you had an experience like that.
They didn't help us to select the college, no.
Did they do that with anybody?
I don't know whether they did with the white students or not. The counselors made sure that we had enough credits and the correct courses to enter. Mm-hmm. They did take care of that, but the choices that we made were our choices, because we submitted our own applications for the schools that we felt we were most interested in. This is the other person and myself, the two of us that graduated together.
And tell me again what happened to the other 8 students. That's an incredibly high number. You said one or two of them were
Some fell behind because they couldn't keep the work schedule, so they didn't pass to the next grade. Mm-hmm. Two went back to Dunbar. Mm-hmm. They dropped out altogether and went back to the old high school. The others stayed there, even though they were behind us. They did eventually graduate. Mm-hmm. They were maybe a year behind us. But they did eventually.
And when you graduated, then what? What did you do
with the schools? Oh, what did I personally do? Mm-hmm. I entered Hampton University.
In Hampton,
Virginia.
Virginia.
Yes, in Hampton, Virginia.
Do you know how long that the black high school kept going after you all entered?
Mm-hmm. It continued through my graduation, which was 59, and perhaps a few years beyond that. But then the city changed the zoning, school zoning, and that really automatically integrated all the schools. That changed the whole situation in the city. Mm-hmm. So Dunbar was closed altogether for classes. Mm-hmm. And that meant that all the students had to go to Mayfield High. And the same thing within the elementary schools, because there were different elementary schools in different sections of the city. Mm-hmm. So once they did redistrict the area, it was automatically integrated. Mm-hmm. So that solved the whole problem.
Right. Okay. Do you recall before you left, or do you recall hearing about after you left, were there any sit-ins or demonstrations here in the early 60s to open up restaurants, theaters, jobs?
There were no sit-ins that I remember. Mm-hmm. There were no sit-ins. The only sit-ins that were going on were the demonstrations that had to do with us attending Mayfield High School. And there were days when the students decided they weren't going to classes with us. and all the students would come out on the campus and just stand there.
How long did that go on?
Off and on for quite a while, at least a year and a half of that time. There were periods of time when it was very quiet, and then there were other times when the students would make their own protest about our, because we were attending there. And on those days, they would stand around on the campus. And the communication was poor, because we would never, those of us, the 10 of us going to the high school, we'd never really know those things were going on until we arrived. And I remember one morning, the other person that graduated with me, her name was Dorothy. We were walking to school, and we saw quite a few state trooper cars along the way, state cars. And we said, this is very unusual for Mayfield. And we saw more and more and more. And we realized, we said, oh, there must be something going on today. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, when we got closer to the high school, we could see all the students standing on the outside. They weren't going to class with us.
Let me ask.
And we walked through the door anyway.
How many students do you think were out there?
The majority of them. There were some students who did not participate, and they were inside in their homeroom classes. Okay. But the majority were on the campus.
Were they carrying any kind of signs?
No signs.
Did they have any speakers, or they were just...
No, they just taunted us as we walked toward the school.
What did they say?
Everything they could think of. Okay. It was negative.
Okay. And what about the principal and the teachers?
Teachers were inside. The principal was standing at the door. We went in and we started classes.
And as far as you know, the principal never made any effort to bring the demonstrating students inside?
Oh, yes, he did. But his way of handling that was to just go in and let them know that nothing was going to stop because of what they were saying. Mm-hmm. And they had a choice to stand out there all day or come to class.
How did you feel that he handled that? Was that a good way to handle it, or?
He probably felt that was the best way to handle it, to not have a huge fight or a real riot during that period of time. I think he was trying to keep it as quiet as possible without anybody getting hurt.
Did the police cars come regularly?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Were they local police or were they?
Local police would come regularly too. At the beginning of the day, they would ride around the school, around the block. We had family friends who came too. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would drive us there because we didn't have a car at the time. And if they heard anything on the radio or they suspected anything was going on, they would come and pick us up. This is other adults that were family friends.
Not the police would pick you up.
No,
family and friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If they suspected it was like a rough day,
right,
and maybe we shouldn't walk, they would come and pick us up.
They would hear it on the radio.
I don't know how they would get that information. Whether they would hear, oh, there are students on the campus today. There's a protest at Mayfield High School. That kind of thing, and then they would come.
Okay. Did you with any or all of the other 10 students, did you ever talk about what you'd done after the fact? Did you ever have any regrets, or did you continue to feel like you made the right decision?
It was hard, but we thought it was the right decision because we all wanted to go to college.
Mm-hmm. And you thought you would have a better opportunity to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything else I haven't asked you about that you can?
Nothing I can think of. It was tough, but we made it.
And so then you went on to Hampton.
Yes.
Did you ever come back to live in Kentucky again?
No.
No, just to visit?
Yes, family. Just to visit with Mother.
Okay.
You had a job before you graduated, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I worked, you know, right after graduation, but I would come home periodically to visit with mother. And my knowledge of African American history, I obtained at Hampton. Mm-hmm. I got much more at Hampton than I ever.
You were starting to tell me about
right,
a paper.
About a paper that this was a paper that I wrote for English class. And this is at Hampton.
This
is at Hampton. First year at Hampton, freshman year. And I told about some of the experiences with a newly integrated situation. And my instructor was really interested in hearing about that. Mm-hmm. And the other friend that graduated with me attended Wilberforce, and she did the same thing. And she said some of the students couldn't believe that all that had gone on, mm-hmm. just to integrate a high school.
Do you think you might have saved the paper?
I doubt it very seriously. Okay. If I haven't, it would be buried so far below so many books and papers that I own. Oh my. I probably did. I'd have to search for it. I really would.
Okay. I'm just going to ask you, you were saying after we turned the tape off that when you went to Hampton that you were involved there.
Oh, definitely.
Tell me a little
bit
about
that. In organizations?
Well, no, you were involved in some of the sit-ins and the demonstrations.
Oh, yes. When I first went to Hampton, the Hampton area and Newport News, Norfolk areas were all segregated. The restaurants and everything were segregated. And I participated in the marches. Mm-hmm. We had several sit-ins in the restaurants and in Hampton, especially. There were quite a few students that were arrested. I never was arrested, but I did march mm-hmm. in all three areas.
Okay, thank you. I was thinking also to ask you about the 10 students. Mm-hmm. How did the 10 break down in terms of gender, boy, girl? Was it about equal? Were there more boys?
No, it wasn't. There were more girls.
As
I remember, there were only maybe two boys, and the rest of us were girls.
Mm-hmm. And that was your whole class?
That was my whole class from Dunbar. It was just the 10 of us who decided to apply at Mayfield or register at Mayfield High.
Right, but what I'm not asking this right. The 10 of you made up the whole class. Mm-hmm. That were there other students?
Oh, there were other students.
Okay, who
continued at Dunbar.
To go to Dunbar.
Right. They continued to go to Dunbar. It was really their choice at that point, whether or not they wanted to continue there or go to Mayfield High.
Okay.
And because Dunbar hadn't closed.
Okay.
And it remained open until that group graduated. Some never made a change.
Did the 10 of you make known to the other students that you were going to do this and invite them to go with you, other students in your class?
There were a few that we had told outside of our little group, and they didn't want to do it.
Okay.
They said no.
Okay. Why do you think you had more girls than boys in the 10 who elected to go?
I'm not sure. I won't say, I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't say because we were stronger or we wanted it more or anything like that. I don't think that was the reason. No.
Okay.
I really don't.
Okay.
I think that's just how it happened, and those two just happened to be a part of the group.
Okay. So the girls, it wasn't that you all were the better students?
No.
Or anything?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't want to lead you too much.
No.
I'm just curious.
No.
You're telling me
all right, this
the advantages and
the advantages of going to Mayfield High School. This is another advantage. When I first went to Hampton, first freshman year at Hampton.
Excuse me, this for you.
Oh.
We were talking about advantages and disadvantages.
The advantage of going to Mayfield High School. There were many disadvantages, and I guess the disadvantages were about joining organizations, extracurricular organizations. And we really didn't do that at the time. Later on, I wished that I had tried for some of them, but I think it was so hard to get through the classes that I didn't want to fight through that for an extracurricular activity as well. But advantage, when I first went to Hampton, freshman year at Hampton, one of my assignments in one of my classes was to write a paper. We were given a subject, we had to do research, we had to go to the library, look for information, catalog that information, write the paper, bring the supporting ideas, and I was able to do that. And there were other students in that freshman class that had no idea what the instructor was talking about. And the same thing happened to my friend, Dorothy, at Wilberforce. She said when she went for during her freshman year, she was really able to do a lot of things that she found out there were other students that could not do.
Academically.
And we were really happy then that we had gone through it, because we were prepared.
Okay.
So that was a good part.
Can I go back to why there might have been more girls than boys?
Sure.
In the 10?
Sure.
Because you were recalling that Dunbar had
a very good basketball team. And perhaps the guys really wanted to stay there to be a part of that, because Dunbar had won several championships for the area. So that could have been the reason. Not because they were not academically able to keep up, because I think they would have been, but they just didn't choose to do that. And perhaps they didn't choose to go through the harassment either, that they knew they would face.
The two boys who went with you, though, were they involved in athletics?
They did not.
Okay. Is there anything else that...
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
If I... It was a very interesting time because everything was changing. The climate was changing. Attitudes. African Americans were changing their attitude about themselves. So it was changing toward being very proud of who you were. Not that didn't always exist, but to, I guess, make it a public announcement. It was a change of attitude, and that was good.
I'm curious. You're a teacher in the New Jersey public school system?
Yes.
And what are you teaching?
I teach music.
So you get
I'm a vocal teacher of all ages? I have children from kindergarten to sixth grade now.
Okay.
I have taught older students through the middle school age, but now I'm teaching kindergarten through sixth.
Do you think that your experience in high school has affected the way you teach now in any way?
Probably. I'm sure it has, because I teach many ethnic groups now. Asian population, very large Asian population, very large Hispanic population, African American and white. And I'm sure it has shaped that, definitely.
Okay.
In a good way.
Okay. Thank you.